Well, hello everybody. You're listening to Andrew on badmovies.org radio, and what do I have for you this time? Well, how about this? Flash! Savior of the universe! It's cheesy, it's fun, and it's got a Queen theme song. It's the 1980 version of Flash Gordon. Now, just the other day, I was talking to Ken Begg from Jabutu.com about this. And he will talk about other things besides the fact that he wants to go back in time, become a woman, and have Ronald Reagan's love child. Ken doesn't like Flash Gordon or Barbarella, and both of them are from Dino De Laurentiis, and I'm certain the man spent millions of dollars making these things look cheap and gaudy. And I love it, but Ken doesn't like it that much. So I'd make sure to remark to him that isn't he glad that Dino De Laurentiis did make Orca the same way. Because can't you just see a gold and silver glittering killer whale chasing Richard Harris around?
Orca! Ah!
Okay, maybe it's for the best that Queen does it.
Flash! Ah!
The movie starts and Ming is screwing with Earth. Seriously, the man has some sort of control panel and it's got all these buttons on it. And there's a button for tornadoes, there's a button for earthquakes, there's a button for hurricanes, blizzards, hot hail, you name it. It's the sort of stuff that makes employees of FEMA lose sleep at night. At first, Flash could care less, because he doesn't know about Ming. He's just a star quarterback returning after a vacation. However, Ming sends his Second Life avatar to yank the pilot and co-pilot out of Flash's plane, so Flash has to grab the controls and crash land the thing, with Dale just about sitting in his lap the whole time, because she was on the same small flight. Dale's one of those girls. You know the kind.
Okay, the world's ending in, oh, a man!
And then she latches on to him, like some sort of limpet. Before Dale can get too many wedding bells in her head, Flash lands the plane by crashing it into Zarkov's greenhouse. Now, Zarkov is getting ready to blast off in his homemade rocket ship because he knows the Earth's under attack. He doesn't know who's doing it, but he knows they're up there, and he's going to go up there and stop them. So we all know, Zarkov is completely crazy. However, he's smart. Anybody that can build a rocket ship from stuff lying around the house and get the planet Mongo has got to be intelligent. Right? The rocket ship blasts off, and Flash, Zarkov, and Dale are on their way to save Earth. One football quarterback, one ditzy girl, and a mentally unbalanced rocket scientist. I'd say we are still screwed. But one of them is Flash Gordon.
Flash!
Except, the first thing Flash does when he gets to Mongo is annoy Ming. And you don't annoy someone whose last name is Merciless. So Flash ends up getting executed. And he's not going to save anybody while he's dead. Meanwhile, Zarkov gets taken away to become a new Imperial agent. And they do that by hooking him up to this machine that sucks all of his memories out so they can make room for Imperial programming. Imagine if somebody put, like, a wet dry vac against your ear, and then they turn it on. Or you're a pumpkin, and Halloween's right around the corner, and somebody's turning you into a jack-o'-lantern. I have nightmares about that all the time. I wake up screaming at my wife in the middle of the night, "Get your hands out of my head! Get your hands out of my head!" Ah! Katie usually freaks out and goes downstairs to sleep on the couch. Oh, like I'm the only one that has that nightmare. Flash isn't really dead, because Princess Aura has been sleeping with the royal surgeon. And she got him to give him some sort of antidote for the poison gas that was used to execute him. And I bet you that Ming had a lot of daughters. And he got so tired of them all scheming and sleeping with all the different royal subjects, he's like, okay, fine. I can't keep track of 40 or 50 different death plots. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to kill all of you except for Aura. And you can sleep with everybody you want. But at least I only have to keep track of you and who you're sleeping with. Alright, take the rest of them off to the execution chambers. Aura, you can have all the spare bedrooms. Use them for your clothes or midgets or whatever. It should be pretty obvious why Aura saved Flash. Because she wants to sleep with him. What else does the royal booty do? Even though she already has Prince Baron as a boy toy. And those two act like they're married.
Fly back to your kingdom. You may see me sooner than you think.
Lying bitch.
I'll come. If you rocket there right away.
Why?
I have a surprise for you. Don't you love me?
I don't trust you.
Ming takes a liking to Dale and slates her to become a royal concubine, but she gets away with Zarkov's help, because the good doctor does not get brainwashed, or rather he resists it by humming a Beatles tune, and the two of them fly off on a rocket cycle. They quickly get picked up by a Hawkman patrol, and that's something that happens constantly in Flash Gordon. Anytime a character starts drifting away from the main plot line, a Hawkman patrol shows up, grabs them, and drags them back to where the story is. Like, I don't know where you're going, but all of us are over here.
Craw! Craw!
Here. Okay, great. Now, having resurrected Flash from the dead, what do you think Aura does with him? She takes him, her new boyfriend, and drops him off in Baron's domain. Like, okay, this is my new boyfriend, I love you, see ya, and she leaves him there. And Baron, of course, is looking at Flash going, so what do you think of my girlfriend? Baron makes sure that Flash has to take the Tree Man rite of passage, because in Arborea, there's this ugly little thing called a Wood Beast, and it's not cuddly at all. In fact, Wood Beasts are so ugly that their own mothers abandon them when they're really young, so they end up being really angry for their whole life. And to make it worse, they get captured by the Arboreans, who stick them in this rotting trunk in the middle of the temple, and then they walk around it beating on it with sticks. You know, just to make sure it's completely pissed off. And the bad thing about this is that wood beasts are poisonous. They have this scorpion stinger thing on them. The test of manhood, once you have a really pissed off wood beast, is to walk around this stump and stick your hand in it. If it stings you, you die. But if it doesn't sting you, then you're a man. Flash plays along with this at first, and he even does pretty good at it. And I think that's just because he's so dense. I mean, he actually believes this is like a football game, and football games don't have scorpions in them. Football would be a lot more interesting if there were scorpions on the field. Anyway, once he realizes that Baron isn't playing fair, Flash takes off into the marsh with Baron chasing after him. The two of them get too far away from the plot, and Hawkman Patrol grabs him and takes him back to where the plot is at. And in this case, it's Prince Volton's Flying Fortress. Because he thought Flash was sleeping with his girlfriend, Prince Baron challenges him to a duel to the death, which Flash wins, and he doesn't kill Baron. He actually earns his undying loyalty from the battle. And hopefully Baron will stop challenging people to duels to the death who have slept with Aura, because that's a lot of people. However, Ming shows up. Prince Volton and all his birdmen fly the coop, while Baron, Dale, and Zarkov are taken prisoner again. Flash is left aboard the flying fortress as Ming's rocket ship blasts it to atoms. However, once again, because he's the hero, Flash miraculously escapes. Flash goes looking for Volton, and he finds him in exile on Arborea. And finally, the old bird agrees to help Flash defeat Ming. So what they do is, using Flash's bait, they lure the war rocket Ajax out of Ming's fortress. And the war rocket Ajax is apparently the most powerful rocket ship in the universe. But as it comes up out of the clouds, it's greeted by an entire army of Hawkmen that descend on it. But they don't descend on it all at one time, because that would make sense. They would actually take the rocket over. No, Volton sends them at it, one flight at a time, so that they can deal with them like space invaders. The Hawkmen use weapons that are the laser equivalent of a blunderbuss, while the Imperial troops have these squirt lasers that zap the heck out of everything.
Fire! Second wave! Die!
But really, the biggest problem here is that Volton commits his forces piecemeal. He sends one group in, you know, first wave, dive! And they go down and get blasted. And then, okay, all those are gone. Second wave, dive! Meanwhile, there's like 15 or 16 other flocks of Hawkmen up there going, you know, we could all gang up on them at once and we'd stop losing people 8 at a time. In spite of these tactics, or rather because Flash finally goes, this is stupid, everybody get them at once! The Hawkmen capture War Rocket Ajax, and they make an end run on Ming's fortress as Dale is being forced to marry Ming. Ming has some of the best marriage vows I have ever heard.
Do you, Ming the Merciless, ruler of the universe, take this earthling, Dale Arden, to be your Empress of the Hour?
Of the Hour, yes.
You promise to use her as you will?
Certainly.
Not to blast her into space? Until such time as you grow weary of her.
I do.
I do not!
Those are awesome. I've already asked Katie if we can use those when we renew our vows. She said maybe. I've already got her sold on the midget Elvis preacher. I don't know about the Ming marriage vows. So at the end of the movie, Flash comes charging to the rescue in the face of impossible odds. Do you think he'll make it? You need to have a little faith. Queen doesn't do theme songs for everybody. It's time to talk about some lessons we learned from this movie. Let's see. First off, having a skylight is bad when it rains burning coals. Because somebody has a button that does that. Never discuss your secret assassination plans in mixed company. Diamonds are a girl's best friend, but rubies make them horny. Professional quarterbacks are invulnerable when given a football-shaped object. Funeral parlors are inhabited by reclusive midgets. When nobody else is around, they come out of their hidey holes and polish everything. And lastly, women use pillows when dueling to the death. Okay, how about what to watch for? Check out the doomed pilot aboard Flash's plane. I bet you his last name is Aldrin. The part where it looks like Ming is causing a hurricane over Missouri. Ming intends to repopulate the Earth with his and Dale's children. Dale's gonna be busy. And lastly, at the end of the movie, we are watching the countdown of how much time Flash has to save the Earth, and it's 19 seconds. However, no editing, no cutting, it's 54 seconds later when the timer runs out. That's it for this badmovies.org review of Flash Gordon. Until next time, this was Andrew Borntrigger.